reading from the book of Sirach. God sets a father in honor over his children. A mother's authority he confirms over her sons. Whoever honors his father atones for sins and preserves himself from them. When he prays, he is heard. He stores up riches who reveres his mother. Whoever honors his father is gladdened by children, and when he prays, is heard. Whoever reveres his father will live a long life. He who obeys his father brings comfort to his mother. My son, take care of your father when he is old. Grieve him not as long as he lives. Even if his mind fail, be considerate of him. Revile him not all the days of his life. Kindness to a father will not be forgotten, firmly planted against the debt of your sins, a house raised in justice to you. Verbum Domini. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If one has a grievance against another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so must you also do. And over all these, put on love, that is, the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ control your hearts, the peace into which you were also called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as in all wisdom you teach and admonish one another, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, be subordinate to your husbands, as is proper in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and avoid any bitterness toward them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, so they may not become discouraged. Verbum Domini.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi Domine.
When the Magi had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod, that what the Lord had said through the prophet might be fulfilled, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod had died, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." He rose, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go back there. And because he had been warned in a dream, he departed for the region of Galilee. He went and dwelt in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled: "He shall be called a Nazarene."
Verbum Domini.
The church sets before us today a model for all families, the Holy Family, that of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And even though this was the most perfect and holy human family, and is a model of holiness for all families, it was not free from suffering. Even leading up to the birth of Christ and not too long after, there was hardship to endure. We can think of Our Lady, 9 months pregnant, taking the long, uncomfortable journey on a donkey as they were traveling for the census, or in the temple receiving the prophecy from Simeon that her newborn son would be a sign of contradiction, and that a sword would pierce her own soul also. Or the stress of Saint Joseph in trying to find a suitable place for the birth of our Lord, and having to finally resort to a cave and stable where there was nothing else available. Or the most distressing situation in those early years of having to flee to Egypt when the Christ child's life was threatened by Herod. So the Holy Family was very familiar with suffering and trial. And we can learn by their example of persevering through adversity. Pope Leo XIII, writing about the example of the Holy Family, noted that for fathers, St. Joseph is a model of paternal vigilance and care. For mothers, the Blessed Mother is a model of love, of modesty, resignation of spirit, and the perfecting of faith. And for children, the Divine Child Jesus is a model of obedience, as we hear in St. Luke's Gospel, that he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. The Holy Family is also an example of praying together. They went regularly to the synagogue to pray, and they went to the temple for big feast days. It's important for families to pray together and to keep God at the center of their lives. And the Holy Family sought to do God's will. We have Our Lady at the Annunciation saying, "Be it done to me according to your word," which was the will of God. St. Joseph, we have listening to the angel, which we also heard in today's gospel. First of all, to take Mary as his wife, but also to flee to Egypt to protect his family when they are being threatened. And our Lord himself would say, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me," that is, of his heavenly Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he would pray, "Not my will, but thine be done." So the Holy Family teaches us to seek God's will in our daily lives, and to put God first in everything. Now, the family is referred to as the domestic church because it's within the family that children are first introduced to the faith and they come to believe. And each of us, as members of a family, are called to help our other family members get to heaven. This is done especially by prayer and by being a good example to them. Now, the basic duties of children toward their parents can be briefly summed up in four ways: respect, gratitude, obedience, and support. So first is respect. Our reading from Sirach today focused on this responsibility of children to honor and revere their parents. Very simply, this is required by the commandment: honor your father and mother. Respect also applies to the relationships we have among our siblings. Second is gratitude, being grateful for our parents for being open to the gift of life, for the love that they have shown us, and their work and efforts in raising us. The book of Sirach also says, "Remember that through your parents you were born. What can you give back to them that equals their gift to you?" We owe them gratitude. Third is obedience. As long as the child lives at home with his or her parents, they should obey them in all that they ask when it is for their good and that of the family. The exception is that we are never bound to be obedient if what we are asked to do is sinful or offensive to God. The Catechism notes that obedience toward parents ceases with the emancipation of the children, but not so respect, which is always owed to them, right? We always owe respect to our parents. And fourth is support. Our reading from Sirach again today addresses this when we hear about taking care of one's parents in their old age. Society does not put much value on the elderly or the very young, including the unborn. And speaking of the very young today, December 28th is also the Feast of the Holy Innocents. We know, however, that every human being is created in the image and likeness of God and deserves honor, deserves care and respect. As the Catechism of the Catholic Church states regarding responsibilities toward one's parents, this means that as much as we can, we must give them material and moral support in old age and in times of illness, loneliness, or distress. Today's second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians gives us some additional responsibilities of family members toward one another. So we heard in our second reading today, "Wives, be subordinate to your husbands as is proper in the Lord." So what does that mean? In his encyclical letter on Christian marriage entitled Casti Connubii, Pope Pius XI wrote the following about this subjection or subordination, as it was translated in today's in the lectionary. Pope Pius XI wrote, "This subjection does not deny or take away the liberty which belongs to the woman, both in view of her dignity as a human person and in view of her most noble office as wife and mother and companion. Nor does it bid her obey her husband's every request, if not in harmony with right reason or with the dignity due to wife." The Holy Father wrote further, "For if the man is the head, the woman is the heart. As he occupies the chief place in ruling, so she may and ought to claim for herself the chief place in love." The husband and wife, they have equal dignity before God, but they have different roles. The husband is the spiritual leader and head of his family, and the wife is called to freely entrust herself to the loving care of her husband. Brant Petrie had this to say about the different roles of husband as spiritual head and leader of the family, and the wife as the heart of the family. He says, "Which one is more important, your head or your heart? Which one can you live without, the head or the heart? If you cut off the head, the body dies. If you cut out the heart, the body dies. Both of them are needed in the family, but they function in different ways. They have different roles in the relationship within the family in order to give order, harmony, and peace to the family." Now, St. Paul goes on in our second reading to tell husbands to love your wives and avoid any bitterness toward them. In Ephesians chapter 5, St. Paul also compares a husband's love for his wife with Christ's love for the church. So the model for the husband is Christ, who loved his bride, the church, so much that he sacrificed his life for her. The husband and father's role in the family as head is not to dominate, but is to serve, to protect, and provide, to lead his family to heaven by living a life of virtue and sacrificing for them. Regarding the responsibilities of parents toward children, they have the first responsibility for the education of their children. They have the mission of teaching and handing on the faith to their children. They have a duty to love and respect their children as persons and as children of God, and to provide for their physical and spiritual needs as much as they are able. St. Paul's letter to the Colossians today adds that they should discipline, but not provoke and discourage their children. This is a call to balance discipline with encouragement, which is challenging. Children long for the love of their parents. Parents also should be careful not to exert pressure on their children, either in a choice of a profession or in that of a spouse. Rather, it's good to encourage them to pray and to seek always God's will for their lives. And finally, parents have a responsibility of giving good example to their children. This is the most effective way to teach them. The biggest impact is made when children see their parents living their faith. The family has been under attack by the devil since the time of our first parents, Adam and Eve, and the enemy continues to try to destroy families. He does this because the family reflects the image of God, right? And he cannot directly attack God, who is all powerful, but he can try to attack the image of God. We ask the intercession of the Holy Family to bless and protect our families today, to bring strength, healing, and any conversion needed in our families. And we thank God today for the gift and example of the Holy Family. May we strive to imitate them and their virtues as best as we can, so that as we will pray after receiving Holy Communion, after the trials of this world, we may share their company forever.